Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ministry of Finance Second Quarter 2004 Report on Public Finances and Public Debt Conference Call. Speaking on today's call will be Alejandro Werner, Head of the Economic Policy Unit. Joining Mr. Werner will be Andres Conesa, Head of the Public Credit Unit. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following today's presentation. It is now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Alejandro Werner, Head of the Economic Policy Unit. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance conference call on the public finances and public debt report for the second quarter of 2004. I will make some brief comments on the main macroeconomic developments during the quarter, and then speak a little bit about the main results regarding the fiscal accounts. After that, Andres will speak regarding debt policy during the quarter. As you know, the Mexican economic recovery is firmly underway, and the dynamism of aggregate demand is twofold, rooted on stronger domestic sales and a rebound in exports, as well as an important rebound in private sector investment. It is important to point out that recently the macroeconomic indicators show a growth trend that should be around 4% for the second quarter of this year in annual terms. As the Mexican economy has grown faster than anticipated, the main forecast for growth for 2004 have been revised upwards to close to 4% for this year. On the supply side, the recovery of industrial production has been solid. As you know, the three sectors of the economy, agriculture, services, and industry, have posted strong growth figures in the second quarter, and among industrial activities, construction and manufacturing were the two sectors expanding at the fastest rates. Construction posted a 4.8% real annual growth in the 2 months for which we have figures, while manufacturing activity expanded at 2.9% in annual terms. With these numbers, we have for these 2 month period an annual rate of growth for the IGAE of 3.5%. On the other hand, as I said before, domestic demand growth has broadened as investment has started to grow, together with the growth of consumption that we have seen for the last 3 years. On the other hand, exports have reacted in an important way to the recovery of industrial production in the U.S. As you know, manufacturing exports grew at an annual rate of 15% in the second quarter. In June, non-maquila exports posted a 20% annual growth rate, while maquila exports reached 22.4%. Furthermore, intermediate imports for maquila grew at a rate of 28% in annual terms in June, anticipating a strong production rise in the near future. Formal employment has kept growing during the quarter. The creation of jobs during the April-June period was close to 100,000 formal jobs. With this, the total job creation for the first half of the year has been close to 225,000 jobs in this first half of the year. As you know, domestic financial markets have adjusted smoothly to the change in international financial conditions. Short and long-term interest rates have moved upwards in reaction to increases in international interest rates, as well as the monetary tightening policy actions implemented by the central bank. On the other hand, the movements in country risk in the exchange rate and the Mexican stock exchange have been relatively transitory, and some of these variables have regained levels close to the levels that we saw either in April or at the beginning of this year. Regarding banking system credit to the private sector, we have seen an important rebound with the latest numbers. At the end of June, we have seen consumption credit for the private sector growing at 47% in annual terms. Housing banking system credit has risen at a rate of 15%, and we have seen a slight recovery of credit to firms in the private sector that has grown at an annual rate in real terms of 1.4% in June. Regarding the main results on public finances, what we announced yesterday is that we had, in the first half of the year, a public sector surplus of almost 57 billion pesos, 30% lower in real terms to the same number for 2003. It is important to highlight that the change in the balance is explained by advanced payroll payments to teachers and educational personnel due to the summer vacation period. In 2003, those advanced payments took place in July. So when we exclude them, we see that the overall and primary surpluses increased by 24 and 5% with respect to the same figures for 2003. Also, a series of payments calculated on an yearly basis were made in June, such as transfers to states and to the old stabilization fund based on the availability of excess revenues for the year. Public sector budgetary revenues in the first semester increased by 4.5% in real terms with the same period of last year. This represents a 54 billion peso excess from what we have projected for the first half of the year. Basically, all of these comes from higher oil revenues. 47 billion pesos is coming from higher oil revenues. 7 billion pesos is coming from non-oil tax revenues. And regarding non-oil tax revenues, it is important to highlight that they have increased by 2.5% in real terms, and the VAT revenue has increased by 5.4% in real terms in the first half of 2004. Regarding expenditures, as I said before, these were affected by the advance payment to the education sector. When we take these expenditures out, to make reasonable comparisons with respect to the same period of last year, we see that total and primary spending increased by 2.2% and 4.6% respectively. As regards physical and impulse investment by the public sector, we saw increases of 14 and 13% respectively in the first semester of 2004, and the financial costs for the public sector shows an important reduction of almost 14% in real terms with respect to the first half of 2003. So it is worth to highlight that public finance figures for the first half of 2004 are well in line with the fiscal balance target for the year, and that the prudent macroeconomic and fiscal policy has allowed the Mexican economy to adjust smoothly to the changing conditions in financial markets around the world, and has supported the economic recovery that has been taking place since the end of last year. Now, I will turn it over to Andres to talk about this.
Thank you, Alejandro. I will make a brief description of the main public debt results during the second quarter of the year, and after that, we will proceed to a question and answer section. At the end of the first half of this year, Mexico's total net public sector debt amounted to 24.8 percentage points of GDP, which is 0.4 percentage points lower than the figure registered at the end of 2003. This result is attributable to the following factors. First, an increase in the net external debt to GDP ratio of 0.2 percentage points. This increase is temporal in nature, as the external funds raised at the beginning of the year are used for amortization payments during the remainder of 2004. As you may recall, our debt external policy for the year is consistent with a reduction of $500 million in the stock of net external debt. In terms of dollars, at the end of the second quarter, total net external debt amounted to $80.5 billion, which is $3.4 billion higher than the figure registered at the end of 2003. This result was due to the net borrowings of $500 million, a decline in the federal government external financial assets due to the cancellations of the collateral of the Brady bonds worth $1.6 billion, and upward accounting adjustments of U.S. $1.4 billion, which is linked to the registration of the Pidiregas debts. Among the external debt market operations that took place in the second quarter of the year, I would like to highlight the successful completion of the offer to exchange U.S. dollar-denominated global bonds that were due in 2019, 2022, and 2026 for a combination of U.S. dollar-denominated global notes due 2014 and 2033. This operation was highly successful, resulting in the exchange of $3 billion, a figure that represented 37% of the total amount in circulation of the bonds. Using the benchmark UMS curve, we estimate that this operation will generate savings in the debt service in net present value terms of around $50 million U.S. dollars. Additionally, the transaction increased the average life of the exchanged debt by nearly 4 years and increased the efficiency of our dollar-denominated yield curve, thus reducing the cost of future external debt placements. In terms of domestic debt, and in terms of GDP, we saw a reduction in the stock of net domestic debt to GDP of 0.6 percentage points with respect to the last quarter of 2003. Given that the fiscal deficit is concentrated in the second half of the year, what has happened in the past, as was the case this year, we accumulate cash in the Treasury, which thus is reflected in a lower stock of net domestic debt. In terms of nominal amounts, at the end of June of this year, the net domestic debt of the federal government totaled 916 billion pesos, which is 11 billion pesos lower than that registered at the end of 2003. This result was attributable to new borrowings of 64 billion pesos, an increase in the domestic financial assets of the federal government. This is the cash that we accumulate in the Treasury that I referred before, of 78 billion pesos, and upward accounting adjustments to inflation index bonds of 2.8 billion pesos. During the second quarter of the year, the domestic debt strategy continued to promote the development of our local markets through the consolidation of the medium and long-term segments of the benchmark government yield curve in pesos. This strategy has allowed us to increase the relative participation of nominal fixed-rate government bonds with tenors greater than 1 year in total domestic debt, which has increased from 14.5% in 2000 to 43% at the end of the second quarter of this year. As a result, the average maturity of government securities increased from 907 days at the end of last year to 980 days at the end of this quarter. Recently, we announced our action schedule for government securities for the third quarter of this year. This program is consistent with the domestic debt strategy announced earlier in 2004, which has the following main objectives: extend the average maturity of our debt, decrease its financial cost, and increase the average revision period of interest rates. Along these lines, going forward, we will continue to raise our net domestic needs through placement of one of these nominal fixed rate papers longer than 1 year. Finally, I only would like to stress that, as has been the case in the past 3 years, all of the federal government financing needs will be covered in the domestic market, in line with the revenue law approved by Congress for 2004. And with that, I'll conclude, and then the floor is open for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We do ask that while you pose your question, that you utilize your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Once again, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad for any questions at this time. One moment while I poll for questions. Our first question is coming from Paulo Villar de Cuna of HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is actually Benito Berber, also from here in HSBC New York. Good morning, Alejandro and Andres, and thank you for your presentation. I have actually two questions. The first one is related to the oil fund, and the question is specifically how much has been accumulated during the year, and where has the spending gone year to date? And the second one is, do you expect any changes in the issuance of IPAB bonds for the remainder of the year? Thank you very much.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, basically, during the first semester of 2004, the Oil Stabilization Fund had deposits for 2,800 million pesos, basically by deposits by the federal government, and we had expenditures by around 1,300 million pesos. So with these movements, at the end of the first half, the fund has almost 8,000 million pesos in it, basically reflecting the deposits that were made in 2003 and the deposits that we've made during 2004. Now, Andres, you have a question.
In terms of the placements of IPAF bonds, what a significant change that happened this year, as you may recall, and we announced that earlier in the year, is that the federal government is gradually going away from our floaters, from the fixed bond, and we are leaving that space entirely for IPAB. So gradually they are relying more and more on these type of instruments in order to increase the duration of their debt. In terms, if the question is related to the recent exchange that was announced, What will happen is that IPAP has been, in preparation for this exchange, has been accumulating cash in their treasury in order, you know, to avoid a significant increase in its placement to pay for these liabilities that are due in 05 and 06. So it's already ready, and with that, IPAP will continue to be in the market in terms of net placements of debt in similar amounts as has been the case in the past 2 years, which is roughly net placements of 50 billion pesos a year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Once again, if there are any further questions at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad for any further questions. Thank you. There appear to be no further questions at this time. I'll turn the floor back over to you for any further remarks. I'm sorry, we do have a question. Our next question is coming from Edgar Camargo of Bank of America Mexico. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Andres and Alejandro. Well, the question would be, we know that Mexican public finances are currently enjoying of excess revenues of a non-permanent nature. So although there will always be increasing expenditure needs, one would expect such revenues would be mainly directed to reduce public sector indebtedness. Will the Minister of Finance move in such a direction, and not only externally but domestically as well? Thank you.
Well, I mean, as you said, basically we have been living during a period in which the price of oil has been extremely high, and we have, I mean, accumulated excess revenues during the year. However, due to the nature of the rules that we have in the budget, an important amount of those excess revenues are distributed to either investment in the oil sector, as some of these excess revenues represent Pemex's own increases in income, and also the excess revenues at the federal government level are distributed according to a rule in which 50% of these resources are distributed to the states for investment in these states. The other 50% is basically divided half and half, the first half to the oil stabilization hub, and the second half to have an outcome in terms of the budget deficit that is smaller than the one that was planned at the beginning of the year. So it is basically this one-fourth of the component that ends up reducing the amount of debt that eventually we will need to be placing in capital markets.
Let me just complement what Alejandro just mentioned, saying that these automatic stabilizers and the reduction in debt includes not only the federal government, but also the state-owned enterprises. So we have the degrees of freedom to allocate this reduction in either the federal government or public sector entities, and in that case, we also have the ability to reduce either our domestic debt or our external debt, and it's something that we will decide going forward as the amount of the reduction of this debt is materialized according to the excess revenues that Alejandro mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up coming from Paolo Villadecuna of HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Alejandro and Andres, and thank you again for your answers. I have a follow-up question on the following. Alejandro mentioned the recovery in investment, which is really very encouraging, and as we see the cyclical upswing following the U.S. Industrial production. Now, if you focus more directly on the maquila sector, that would sort of indicate the integration into the North American market. Do you have any evidence that investment in the maquila sector has been picking up as the rest of the investment expands?
I mean, basically, the numbers that we have are for April, and we don't have a disaggregation in which we put maquila vis-a-vis the rest of the exporting or the industrial sector. However, given the numbers that we have seen regarding production, exports, and employment in the maquila sector, it should be, I think, something that we will be seeing in the future, that investment in this sector is also, this sector is one of the sectors that is leading the recovery in investment. Basically, the other important piece of information is that some anecdotal evidence regarding investment projects in Mexico is obviously related to the maquila sector. So as you said, I think future data that will become available in the next quarter will be complementing the picture in the maquila sector, in which we are seeing a very important rebound in exports, an important rebound in employment, and therefore I think we should be seeing that the investment going to this sector is picking up during 2004 in a significant way. Thanks.
Sir, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Gray Newman of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. One question for either Alejandro or Andres. In terms of the passage in Congress changing the Social Security, pension obligations of the federal government for new hires. I wonder if you could just talk briefly how successful is this in terms of potential savings to the federal government, sort of over what time period, and could you maybe put it in the context of what you still feel needs to be done at the level of ESTAY or of any other pension reforms that you feel are outstanding? Thank you.
Great. I think what happened yesterday, I think it's a step forward in starting to deal with the public sector pension liability problem that we have. It's obviously a start, and it's a start even regarding the AIMS. It's a reform that what it does is that stops the increases that we have seen in the implicit liability that we are facing with the pension system. So in that sense, it stops the growth of the problem, but it's not targeted explicitly to solve the immediate financial problems of the Social Security Institute. So I think, and the law in itself at the beginning mentioned this, it's the first step in reforming the pension system of this institute. When you look at the whole pension system liability that we're facing, obviously the IMSS, it's a very important component, but obviously the ISSSTE is the most important component, and in the National Fiscal Convention, there has been an important proposal regarding the structuring of a national pension system that actually proposes the change towards an individual account system for all the public pension systems that we have, and I think that's the way we need to move in the future regarding all of our pension liabilities.
Thank you.
Thank you. There appear to be no further questions at this time. I'll now turn the floor back over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for attending the conference, and good morning. Bye.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a wonderful day.